as soon as possible. So I'm going to ask you once more. We're playing, bouncy ball here. Let's stand up again, and let's read the word of the Lord. We love God's word here at LifePoint. It is absolutely the authority for everything we do. And so we want to give the word its own place in our service because it is why we're here. And so let's read today from our scripture today is from the Gospel of Luke and his part of his Christmas story. And we're going to read verses of 46 of chapter 1, verse 46 through 55. And I'll read and you follow along with me. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. We today are in our series called Advent. It's an Advent series, and we're calling it War Cry, as we sang a moment ago, and we've been talking about different aspects of War Cry. And you know, it's Christmas crunch time. As I said a moment ago, Christmas Eve is only a few days away, really. It's not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. And I know you, probably like me, you're getting a little nervous about, is my stuff going to get here if I order it today, for those of us who delay a little bit. And so, it's crunch time. I mean, in just a few short days, the halls are going to be undecked. The Christmas trees are going to be put back in the attic, and all the Christmas songs are going to be removed from our playlist. And some of you, that's okay, because Jingle Bells is a trigger for you, right? And others like me, you really enjoy Christmas music. I know I do. I've been streaming Christmas music since early November, and I love it. It just brings back so many great memories and fond memories for me, and you only get to listen to it, for a season of the year, and so I want to listen to it as often as I can, as much as I can, so I've been streaming it early. I mean, it's really cool for me to be able to sit in traffic bumper to bumper when I would normally be going berserk. If those of you who have ridden with me or know me, no, I'd be going berserk, and Mariah can just calm me down a little bit, right? It's good to know that that I can have a bad day at work or something happen at home, and Bing Crosby can just make it all seem a little better, right? And so the Christmas songs are incredible, but they don't just change our mood, they change our focus. You know, I'm not talking about Santa Baby. I'm talking about O Come Emmanuel. I'm talking about O Come All Ye Faithful and Silent Night and songs like these. These are incredible hymns that help us to remember that Christmas is not about what's around our tree, right? It gets our head out of our stockings and puts the focus on the Savior. And what we're going to do today, as we continue this War Cry series, we're going to look at another Christmas song. Now, this song that we're going to look at today is not, a song that's on anybody's, it's not on Apple Music, it's not on Spotify, it's not going to be on the playlist at your ugly Christmas sweater party. It's not a top 100 Christmas song. It's not written by anybody famous in the music industry. It's a song that was written by and sung by Mary right after she found out that she was pregnant with Jesus. And it is Mary's song, and those who study scripture remember the song perhaps. Maybe you've read it. Maybe you've not. It's what we just read in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. It's Mary's song. It's a song that she wrote, and it's actually a song that she sung. So I read it. I didn't sing it for your benefit, but it's a song that Mary wrote at Christmas time. And think about the honor that it was to be the mother of Jesus, the one who would carry the Savior of the world, that would give birth, that would be the mother of Jesus. But it wasn't all reveal parties and baby showers, right? I mean, Mary was in a very stressful time. Mary had just found out that she was pregnant with Jesus, and during this time, she was betrothed. She was probably around 14 years old, which is quite amazing when we think about it today. All of you who have young teenagers, you're like, oh my goodness, you know, she was about 14 years old. It was very common at that day for 15-year-old girls to be married. And so she was betrothed to Joseph, and betrothal was a lot more binding than an engagement. You know, when we get engaged today, we give a ring and we can give that back at any time. We can break it off. It's another level of commitment, but it can be broken. But a betrothal couldn't just be broken by throwing the ring back at somebody and say, here, take it, man, and leave. A betrothal had, the only way it could be broken was by divorce. So they were in a committed relationship, but the difference is they had not consummated that relationship yet. There would typically be a period of about a year, a betrothal period of about a year, where they were committed. They were basically married in a sense that they could only be separated in that by divorce, but they had not consummated. She still lived with her parents, and he would live either with his parents or preparing the home that they would live in together. And after about a year, then he would process to her home and with his wedding party, get her, take her back. They'd have a ceremony and consummate, and it would be awesome. They were in the middle of this betrothal period, and so it was an exciting time for Mary, as you can imagine. I mean, man, she was thinking about bridesmaids' dresses and colors, and she was trying to say yes to the dress, and I mean, she was trying to figure out what she was serving, the cake, and what was it going to be, chocolate or almond or vanilla or whatever they are today. But she was trying to figure out all of this. Is an incredible, exciting time. Where's her venue going to be? All this exciting time that you ladies can think of in your life, or you're dreaming of if you're a single young lady, or if you have experienced, you remember that time. It was a very exciting time until Gabriel, the angel, dropped a bomb in her lap and exploded everything. So Mary, she was very blessed by this moment, but she was also very stressed because think about it. I mean, there's no way Joseph's going to believe this. Gabriel shows up, says, greetings, highly favored one. I mean, she's a virgin. She's not consummated this thing with Joseph yet. She's a 14-year-old virgin, and God tells her through Gabriel that you are pregnant. I mean, Joseph is young, but I mean, he knows how this happens, right? I mean, no way he's going to believe. Think about your virgin fiance coming up to you saying, I'm pregnant, but I've never had sex with anybody. Yeah, right. I mean, Joseph's probably never going to believe her. Her parents are never going to trust her again. Her reputation is trash at this moment. And by the way, she could literally be drug out of town and stoned to death when people find this out because she's not yet married and she's pregnant. And that was one of the things that were, in that time frame. And so it was a very blessed time, but it was a very stressed time for her. But here's what we can learn from Mary. Today is Pavlos and Kate lit the joy candle. This is an incredible example that your circumstances in life do not have to dictate your joy. This is an incredible example because many of you are just like Mary today. Many of you, your life's sort of been blown up in one way or another. You've heard bad news. You've got something about a relationship, something about your job, something about your finances. Man, you're stressed over Christmas. I don't know how I'm going to pay for Christmas. I don't know if this is going to work out or that's going to work out. You've got stuff in your life, like Mary, that should cause you to be nervous, stressed, just jacked up during this time. But what we can see Mary in a time when she could feel this way, she had this joy that caused her to worship God in an amazing way. That's why today I'm glad we're talking about Mary. We're going to talk about how God's war cry in sending Jesus should bring us joy and lead us to worship no matter our circumstances. Now, worship isn't just a Christian thing. You know, some of us think about worship, we're like, worship. Worship's not just a Christian thing. Everybody worships because we were wired to worship. When God created you, he wired you to worship. The definition of worship is many things. It depends on who you ask, but some people would say, man, it's giving adoration. It's giving reverence. One of the greatest, I think, easiest, simplistic examples or definitions of worship that can help you get your mind around it, maybe it's the thing that you prize the most. The thing that you prize the most, and here's the thing. It's not a matter of if you worship. It's not a matter of if you worship, but the question is what you worship, because we all are gonna prize something the most in our lives. We all are gonna adore and give reverence to something and revere something. So the question is not do you worship, the question is what you worship. And today, I wanna look at two things about this story, this song, really quickly. I wanna look at two things that will help you, hopefully, no matter what your circumstances are in this season, help you have joy and help you worship and magnify the Lord. The first thing that we see from Mary that I think will help us is remember who God is. We need to remember who God is in this time, right? I mean, throughout history, this verse, this passage that I just read, Mary's song has been called the Magnificat. It's a Latin word that means to magnify. Now, perhaps you have looked through a telescope, maybe when you were young, maybe recently sometime, you've looked through a telescope into space and you have seen, you know, we see all those stars and we see the background here and you see all these stars. And man, I said, I love what our creative team did. This is just crazy. But I mean, it looks, you've seen this in a night sky. You see all these stars and all these comets and man, they look like little white blips in the sky. But you look at them through a telescope and they become, you know, if it's a high powered telescope, they become like, I mean, this beautiful, massive, you see all these colors and this ice and this dust that's hurling through space, following these comets and these stars around. It's amazing, right? Because you can see what looks like a tiny speck through this telescope, because that's what a telescope does. It magnifies things. Now, here's what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that a telescope takes something small and makes it appear larger. Not at all, it's the opposite. A telescope actually lets you see something massive for what it really is. And that's exactly what Mary is doing when she is in this time of worship. She's just received this news and she is absolutely stressed, you know, but she's also blessed and she knows. She knows how blessed she is. And she worships the Lord because of what he is doing. She remembers who God is. And see, our default is to magnify ourselves. And that's what gets us in this stress mode. That's what gets us jacked up, because we begin to magnify ourselves. And folks, when I magnify myself, there's a lot of holes in myself, right? There's a lot of weaknesses in myself. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of things in myself that I don't want to magnify. And so I zoom in on those things and it doesn't give me hope. It gives me stress. But when we magnify God, something amazing begins to happen. And so, you know, we begin to magnify ourselves and what we do, and then we make God smaller. But Mary shows us that true worship is seeing God for who he really is. It's seeing God for who he really is. Magnifying him, treasuring him, prizing him above all else. She looked back and she remembered in this song, she remembered all that God had done. She remembered the things that God had done in the past, and she recounts how he has brought the mighty low and how he has exalted the humble and how he has filled the hungry and how he has sent the rich home empty. She recounts how he's been merciful and how he's been faithful and how he's been great and all of that, all the attributes of God, his power and his sovereignty, how he rules the universe. She sings about all this stuff And as she recounted all this stuff, she began to magnify God. And like Mary, no matter what's going on in our life today, no matter what kind of stress is in your life, no matter how jacked up your life may be, if we can recount all that God has done, it makes a complete difference in our perspective and causes us to magnify God. Mary didn't know how all this was going to turn out, but she knew God. Man, you're thinking, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know in 2025 what my family's going to be like. I don't know if my marriage is going to make it. I don't know if my kids are going to return to the Lord, or I don't know if my kids' marriages are going to make it. I don't know how my grandkids are going to respond to this. I don't know how my health is going to be. I don't know what my finances are going to be. Man, you've had some stuff this year that just caused you to go, I don't know. Mary was in that same spot, right? She didn't know if her reputation would ever be restored, but she knew God. She didn't know if Joseph was going to eject. She's probably thinking, man, Joseph's going to eject. I mean, that would have been a natural response from Joseph. He's going to eject. She didn't know if Joseph was going to eject, but she knew God. She didn't know if her parents would ever trust her again, but she knew God. She didn't know if her reputation would ever be destroyed, or ever be restored, but she knew God, and it made all the difference in the world when she magnified God rather than herself. When she began to think about who God is and remember who God is, no matter the circumstances, she went from being stressed to being blessed when she focused on God. Now, Mary responded this way, and when I see someone who responds that way, you always got to think, man, I want to dive in. And why did they respond that way when so many other people don't respond that way? And I mean, she had this incredible faith is what it boiled down to. Where did that come from? Well, that comes from the call of God on her life. But here's what we see, as you saw in the story a moment ago, the Focus story in Brussels. What she had, Mary was a Jewish young lady. And in the Jewish world, a parent discipling their kids was not an option. This wasn't something that I'll get to it tomorrow. I mean, a parent discipling their kids was an obligation that they took very, very seriously. And so they didn't have a Bible in their home. They didn't have a Bible in their home because in that day, they didn't have Bibles in their home because, remember, they didn't have the printing press. It wasn't printed up. It wasn't, you know, bound in leather or hardback, or they didn't have on their phone, like I got Bibles all over my phone and my iPad, my computer. They didn't have all that. They had one Bible, if they were lucky, per village, and it was in the tabernacle in a place called the Torah room, and they would go to church on the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath, that scripture would be read. And what they did was, they memorized the scripture. It was so important to them, they memorized it. And so they talked about it often in their home. They would get together and they would tell their kids the stories of all that God had done. That's what Mary's doing. She's remembering everything her parents had told her. She's remembering the story. She's remembering the power of God. She's remembering how God had fought for his people. She's remembering how God had won the victories for his people, how God had led them, how God had caused them to win victories over their enemies, how God had filled them up when they were hungry, and how he is the one who puts kings in places and removes kings in places, and tells the rain where to fall and tells the wind where to blow. He's the one who tells the grass where to grow and the sun where to shine. That's God. She remembered all this stuff. How did she know that? Because her parents had told her all this stuff. Her parents had poured into her. Moms and dads, the greatest thing that you can do for your children is to pour the word of God into their hearts. The greatest thing that you can do is, and you don't have to be a Bible scholar, moms and dads, to do that. As I've said before, and I want to say it again because I want you to remember it. Man, if you will simply read a verse, if you'll sit down and say, let's talk about this, and even admit, man, I don't know all this, but here's what I know. Pray a simple prayer. Jesus, bless my children. Help them to follow you. Amen. If it's that simple, they'll remember that the rest of their life. Think about that, moms and dads, how important that would have been. If your parents didn't do that in your life, you would give anything today if you had that memory of your parents doing that in your life. Just something simple will make a profound impact. Mary's parents poured into her the word of God. Now, if Mary would have had TikTok or Instagram poured into her all the time, and I'm not saying that all social media is bad, but I'm saying if that would have been what would have been poured into her all the time, she would have probably went to Planned Parenthood, not Bethlehem. But she had the word of God poured into her heart. And so because the word of God was poured into her heart, she submitted to the will of God. And because her parents poured God's word into her heart, they told her the stories of God's might and his power and his faithfulness and his sovereignty. When she was hit out of left field, when a bomb was dropped in her lap, she didn't wilt, she worshiped. She worshiped. She had joy. See, no matter what's going on in your life, that's the amazing thing about remembering who God is. When we remember who he is, we remember he's got it. It's in his hand. It's not ours. We can take ourselves. There's no pressure upon me to fix this. What's going on in my life? There's no pressure upon me to make sure my kids are doing this. There's no pressure upon, I know the one who's got it. I remember who he is. I remember all he's done throughout biblical history because I know the stories. I know how he redeemed an entire nation from slavery. I know how he parted a sea with the word, how he made a sea part so that his people could walk through and it come crashing down. I know that. I know how God has won victory after victory. I know how the sun stood still. I know it happened. I know how Jesus come back from the dead. I know that he has caused lame men to walk and blind men to see. I know he has caused dead men to come out of their grave. I know that he is sovereign and he is powerful. I know that. I know who he is. And so when I look at my circumstances in the backdrop of God, it makes all the difference in the world. When I look at my circumstances and my ability, then I'm stressed. When I look at my circumstances and what's going on in my life in my intellectual ability, in my physical ability to take care of them, I'm stressed. But when I look at all those things in the backdrop of God and I remember who God is, man, everything changes. My perspective changes. So this Christmas, as you think about Advent, all of us have junk in our life. We all have stuff that literally has the ability to distract us. We all have stuff that has the ability to knock us off course. We all have stuff in our life that has the ability to just get within us and just control our emotions. Or we can remember who God is, and we can, in the midst of anything that's going on, we can still have joy because we know who God is. That's what we see from Mary. That's what we see in her song, in her Magnificat, in her worship, as she magnifies the Lord because she remembers who he is. She remembers who he is. I mean, we look back in this story and we're like, oh, that was so cute. You know, this is so great. Mary, what an honor. Man, we hardly ever think about the magnificent stress that she was under and the bomb that had been dropped in her lap. I mean, think about that. And then that she could still worship. She didn't wilt, she worshiped because she remembered who God was. And not only did she worship because she remembered who God was, she worshiped because she remembered what God had promised. She remembered what God had promised. Look in verses 54 and 55, the last two verses of the Magnificat, and it says this: he has helped his servant in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Now, Mary wraps up this Magnificat by remembering the promise, the covenant promise that God made in Genesis chapter 12 to Abraham. She remembers this covenant promise, and so, and notice the tense. He has helped. He has helped, she said. Mary was so confident in who God was and what God had done that she had no doubt in what God would do. Mary knew the character of God. She knew his word. She knew his heart. Therefore, she knew he had be faithful in keeping his promise. She remembered that God had promised a Savior all the way back, Genesis 3, Genesis 12, the covenant. She remembered, and all of a sudden she realized that this baby that was inside of her was not just the Savior of the world, but would save her own soul. Was not just the Savior of the world, but would be her Savior. Now that's blasphemy to Catholic, to Roman Catholics, because you see, Roman Catholics believe that Mary was also immaculate. She had an immaculate conception, and that she ascended to heaven, and where she is our advocate for God, before God, and all that kind of stuff. And so that's why Roman Catholics pray to Maria, to Mary, and whatnot. So that's a blasphemy. But here's what we know from Mary. Mary knew her own brokenness. Mary wasn't perfect. Mary didn't have an immaculate conception. Mary was a sinner like you and like me. Mary was not perfect. She was broken. But she was dedicated, and she loved the Lord. She loved the Lord, and all of a sudden, her life's blown up, but she's able to worship because she remembered who God was, and she remembered what he had promised. She remembered what he has promised, and this is why studying God's word is so important, church. This is why it's so important to to be in a small group, as you heard George talk about, to be in corporate worship, to study your the word daily. That's why it's so important, because folks, if life's not hitting you, smacking you in the face right now, it's going to tomorrow. It did yesterday. You know that. Life has just been all over you. Life's jumped on you like a spider monkey, right? And man, life just sometimes strangles you. And if it's not doing it now, it's going to. And you're either going to wilt or you're going to worship. And the difference is going to be if you remember who God is and if you remember what God has promised. If you put your focus upon God, that's what Mary did. Right? If you put your focus upon God, this is why studying God's word is so important. When you know who God is and what God has promised, our circumstances and emotions, well, they no longer lead us. God's word begins to well up within us. And like Mary's song, it reminds us what's true. Like Mary, we need to remember God's promise. We need to remember, some of you are believers in Jesus Christ, and today some of you need to remember that you're forgiven. Some of you need to remember that you're forgiven, because we have all done stuff in our lives that we're totally not proud of, to say the least, right? We've all done stuff in our lives that's broken the word of God, that's been in rebellion against God. You've asked God to forgive you, but it still sort of lingers upon you, right? It still sort of lingers upon you, and you still have the enemy, because he still wants to use that past of yours. He still wants to use that past of yours. He still wants to use that action. He still wants to use that sin, whatever it was. He still wants to come into your life, and he wants to use that to keep you from serving the Lord and from growing in your faith and from being excited about church. He still wants to use that to say, look at you. You remember you did this. You did. Remember what you did? God can't use that. He still wants to bring that up. You need to remember God's promise. He promises to forgive you. When we confess our sins, he promises to forgive you and cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Well, it's never ending. He promises to remember them no more. Now, that doesn't mean God forgets. God doesn't forget anything. God knows all things. So God knows my sin, but he chooses to remember them no more means that he chooses to not bring them up. Because why? Romans 5:8 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Romans says there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. We need to remember the promise of God. And don't let the enemy beat you up over your past, because if you are saved, then you are redeemed. He has forgiven you. You need to remember that promise and break free from your past that's holding you back. You see, that's what Mary did. Mary remembered God's promises, and it changed her present, and it set the course for her future. You remember God's promise? Some of you need to remember that God is with you, because you feel very lonely, especially at this time of year. Man, some of you have lost loved ones. You've lost family. Maybe it's a divorce that you've been through, and you just feel stinking lonely. I know how that is. I've been there with you. I know how lonely it feels. Man, you can have friends. I've got friends like crazy. I've got friends in my life. I've got kids. I've got people around, but I know what it's like to be in a crowd of 1,000 people and still be lonely. I know what that's like. I've experienced that. And, man, I know it's brutal. I know that. If that's you, man, maybe your husband or your wife walked away from you, or maybe they died. I know it is brutal. Maybe your mom died or your dad died, or maybe, you know, a child died, and man, it just leaves something that's there that's just like, man, you feel lonely. I know how you feel. What you need to understand is the reality is that you're not alone. Jesus promises his presence, and he promises to never leave you nor forsake you. When you realize that the God of the universe lives within inside of you, when he has taken up residence in your heart, if you are a believer, then, man, that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference in your present. It makes all the difference in setting the direction for your future. You're not alone. You need to remember that man, you're stressed about which way to go. You got major decision coming up. Some of you don't know where you're going to go to college yet. Some of you are trying to figure that out. Some of you don't know, man, if you need to marry this guy or this gal. Some of you, man, you don't know if you need to break up with this guy or this gal, right? I mean, some of you, you've got all these decisions, and man, I don't know what to do, and you're afraid of making the wrong decision, and you need to remember that God's word promises that he will instruct us and teach us in the way we should go. If we seek him, we will find him, and we seek him with all of our heart. We need to remember, like Mary, the promises of God, the redemption, the forgiveness, the restoration that we have. We need to remember the direction. We need to remember that God has promised, that God has given us our life. We need to remember all that he has promised. And when we remember who God is, and we remember all that God has promised, we can have joy no matter what kind of mess our life is in today. See, Mary didn't focus on the mess. She focused on God because she knew he controlled the mess. He was the one who held the mess in his hands. Maybe Christmas hasn't delivered for you so far. Maybe you've lost someone through death or divorce. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe depression or stress has cast a shadow on the lights on your tree this year. Maybe your kids are estranged. Maybe, man, you're struggling financially. Maybe whatever it is, today you can learn from Mary. Oh, don't just remember the cuteness of this story, a sweet little beautiful girl devoted to the Lord, the honor of carrying Jesus the Savior, which is all true, but also remember that this would have blown her world up. This would have blown her world up. But she, rather than wilt, she worshiped. She had joy. Why? Because she remembered who God was and she remembered what God had promised. Today, some of you do not know the Lord. And when life hits you at 90 miles an hour out of the left field and you get blindsided, you don't know which way to go. And today, we want you to know that there is one who holds everything in his hands. And he loves you, and he died. He came on Christmas. That's what Christmas is about. He came to this planet. It's called the incarnation. He put on skin. He came to this planet so that he could live a perfect life and die the death that we should have died to pay the price for the sin that we couldn't pay. And today, if you don't know Jesus, we would love to help you know who Jesus really is. Not this, you know, just the cute story of Christmas that you get gifts and all that kind of stuff, but it's the Redeemer, the one who can redeem and restore your soul. If you don't know him and you would like to know more information, you're watching online, text the word Jesus to the number on the screen and we will be in touch with you. If you're in the room, come and see us. You saw two people baptized this morning. We are blessed to see people baptized each week. I was in Brussels last week. We had a guy baptized in Brussels last week. At one of our campuses, there's someone being baptized practically every week and most of the time at this campus. And man, we are grateful and you can be one of those that today gives your life to the Lord. Please text us. If you're in the room, come and see us. This is the greatest thing. What a better time. Is there a better time to give your life to Jesus? Any day is a great day, but man, what a special time at Christmas. Would you come and see us? Believer, no matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter what's going on, you don't have to wilt. You can have hope. You can have peace, and you can have joy. Why? Not because you're good, you can figure it out. I promise, I can't figure it out. Not because you can figure it out, not because you're good, not because you've got abilities to overcome, not because you're going smart enough somebody else is smart enough to figure it out for you. Why? Because you serve a God and you need to remember who he is. He's powerful, who's omnipotent, who's sovereign, who's omniscient, who knows all, who's omnipotent, who's all powerful, who can take care of anything because he is sovereign. He holds all things in his hands. Remember who he is and remember what he's done. And that will absolutely give you peace about what he's going to do. And joy. You can have joy in the midst of whatever. So I'm going to pray. Our band's going to come out. And as our band comes out and leads us in one final song, we hope that today, if you're not a believer, you'll come back and see us, that you will text us or that you will today, we hope the Holy Spirit is drawing you to him. If you are a believer, man, we hope that today, just by coming to corporate worship, you've seen things that's inspired you and you realize, man, my life's junk right now, but I know God. I remember who he is and I know what he's promised. And because of that, I can have joy. Father, we love you. Thank you for your grace. God, what an amazing time of the year. Thank you for this time of year. God, we pray and we ask that you would do amazing things in our lives. God, and Lord, I'd pray people get great gifts and they have great stuff under the tree, but that's not what I'm talking about. I pray that they have a good time with their family, but God, I pray, God, that you would let our focus this year not be distracted by all the stuff of Christmas. And I pray that you would allow us to remember who you are and remember what you've done and remember what you've promised, and let help that to literally change our perspective. Help us to look at our past in light of that, and help it to absolutely change how we see our present and set the direction for our future. We love you, God. Thank you for allowing us to join together to celebrate. Help us, and looking at your word, to be changed forevermore. In Jesus' name.